Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
David Sampson. David, how you been? By the way, the beard, man. The beard is flowing hardcore.
Well, I'm doing the ML Beard Challenge as part of my show, Nothing Personal, where I'm not going to shave until there's MLB opening day, and I'm giving away $1,000 a day for the first 100 days of this challenge to organizations around the country who are helping people who have really been negatively impacted by this pandemic.
That's a phenomenal thing. But listen, I know you got a little sense of style about you. I know you like to have that little part in the hair, and you like to be neatly dressed. This has to be driving you nuts. It's got to be.
Well, first of all, I need more napkins because there's, I don't know how people do it. There's food in the mustache and the beard when I go running. There's hairs in the nose. It's really quite something.
Oh, horrendous. And let me ask you, well, first of all, a bunch of questions here. But the notion of contracting the minors has been on the table for a little bit. It's been discussed. You know, and I was trying to come up with a number. What percentage of minor leaguers are non-prospects? I come up somewhere between around 70%, meaning the rest of the guys are kind of filling things out and maybe a cup of coffee, but not really viewed as prospects by the organization. You were in it. You ran an organization. What number would you give us?
Yeah, if you have a minor league system where 30% of your players are actual real prospects, you're doing very well.
Okay.
So your point is, and so when you talk about contraction, I think that people are using that word incorrectly. I was involved in contraction when I was running the Expos, and they were really going to contract the Expos and the Twins.
Yeah.
That's as in eliminate, get rid of, gone. What we're talking about now with the minor leagues is that these teams in these cities would no longer be affiliated with a major league team. These teams would no longer have their players paid for by the major league team, coaches paid for by the major league team. But these cities with these stadiums, minor league stadiums, they would still have unaffiliated teams. It's like more independent league teams.
Independent, yeah. Yeah, which is fun. Independent baseball's, I mean, it's good. It's cheap, and it's good entertainment. There's a lot of grinders still hanging. I mean, but the quality's not, you know, like it is at Double A or Triple A or even, you know, maybe High A in certain spots. But it's a passion. It's a cheap way to bring the kids to the game, and they usually do some cool things in the stadium during the game. So well, that's good to know. Listen, I think, let me ask you this, David. You've talked about this, I'm sure, every day. This has come up on your show every day. Right now, as we move into June, your level of optimism that baseball will return this year is what?
70%.
Oh, boy. Okay, so where was it? Let me ask you this. Where was it a month ago? 90?
No, it's going up.
It's going up. Okay, go ahead.
Because my level of excitement for the return of baseball is directly related and correlated to whether or not there is and how big the second wave of coronavirus will be around the country. And as places open and people continue to be responsible more than they're not, I'm seeing people changing. And that is what's necessary because all the economic issues that we're talking about with baseball – and I spent 30 minutes of Nothing Personal on it today. The economic issues, those will be solved. There's a lot of rhetoric. This is normal collective bargaining between two sides who don't trust or like each other. Mm-hmm. But the thing that scares me the most is health and the health protocols and getting the okay to go back to play. So that's where I am.
So, you know, the finances that you feel pretty confident will be ironed out, I'll take your instincts. I'll trust your instincts on that. But it seems like there's a monster size gap right now based on the scale that I'm sure you know backwards and forwards and, you know, based on the increments of what you make. But I mean, if you're making $20 million or above, I mean, you're going to get a prorated portion. Obviously, that's fair. Of course, it's a condensed season. But then only 20% of the like, how in the world is that fair?
Well, I guess you have to think about other companies where the way that they are doing their pay cuts. So many companies, forget baseball, and many industries right now, this is unprecedented what's happening with an economic. This is not a recession. This was an economic complete shutdown.
Yep.
So, and no one knows, will it be a V-shaped recovery, which means it'll shoot right up and we'll be back to normal? Will it be a U-shaped recovery, so it'll be a little while on the bottom and then start recovering? Or what scares business owners even more would be like a W-shaped recovery where it goes up a bit and then back down and then up and down.
Yep.
So the answer is, how do we know in baseball when revenue will return, and if so, what level it will return to? So what people have done is gone to their employees and said, listen, you have a contract. I understand that. But we're asking you to take a pay cut. Or if you don't have a contract, we are giving you a pay cut. And the more money you make, the higher the pay cut is. So if you're making $20 million and you go down to $5 million, that is a tremendous, right? You're going to say that's a 75% cutback, but you're still making $5 million. If you go to someone who's making $100,000 and take them down to $30,000, now you're talking about potentially saying you can no longer pay your rent. You can no longer satisfy your obligations. So I think there's always a sliding scale in every business, and people have sort of ignored that fact.
Yeah, but the owners seem to be, and maybe this isn't the right way to frame it, but it seems like they're trying to rewrite the CBA in real time. I mean, what exactly happened during those March negotiations? Like, the ire of the player is high right now. Like, they feel as if they're not negotiating in good faith. They had one conversation in March, and now owners are changing it. I mean, you can't tell me that you're fully defending ownership right now, because I think it's ridiculous what they're trying to pull.
No, but I'd like to give you a fact, have them right, and I'll tell you why.
Let me hear it.
Every side in March, let's go back. You always have to know where you are in a negotiation. There was a literally 1 minute Rudy Gobert test positive. All of a sudden, 2 minutes later, the NBA shuts down, just immediately. Mm-hmm. And we were watching halftime of a game that continued on after this, and then the NBA shuts down. Baseball announces they're going to shut down the next day or 2 days later, and they realize, wait a minute, players are starting to get paid on March 26th.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't March 26th yet. It was like March 12th or 11th or 15th or 16th. They had 10 days to figure out, what do we do about money to players? So the agreement that happened super quickly said that we will give you $170 million. You split that amongst yourselves. In return, you don't sue us for the balance of your salary if there's no season. That was one part of the deal.
Okay.
Then they had a part of the deal on service time, which was very critical for players because, believe it or not, they care more about service time than money.
Mm-hmm.
So another part of the deal was, how much service time will players get if there's no season? Because remember back then when the NBA shut down, none of us knew anything.
Nope.
This could have lasted for 4 years. Literally didn't know. So then they said, all right, we will kick the can on one issue that there's no way we can even begin to understand, and that is, what happens if we can start a season but there can be no fans? We can't even talk about it because we have no idea what the world's going to look like. We don't know when that'll be. So put a provision in here that says, if there are no fans, owners have the right to say that, hey, it's not economically feasible for us to play, even though we're allowed to play, with no fans. Let's kick the can and negotiate later. Guess what? It's now later. And the union knew it. The owners knew it. This was all ready to go and planned. And that's why I'm not as panicked as some agents or players are right now.
But just because they said, David, and this is more of a question than a statement, but just because the owners said, based on what you just communicated to me, that they wouldn't be able to function at a high level or really at any level without the fans. How do we know that that's true? Because there's still revenue coming in other aspects. I mean, I feel like the players want the finances to be made public, and the owners are reluctant to do that. Why are they reluctant to do that?
Because it's nobody's business for a private company. No private companies release their books. And I have a funny one for you. We work for a public company, right? And all documents are public. Mm-hmm. But when you're negotiating your salary, do you go to your boss to say, by the way, I really want to see the books of what everybody's making at every level and make sure that for my slot in my station and what I do for this network and this company that I'm getting paid the right amount, because I don't feel I am. So open your books and tell me exactly what's happening.
Yeah, but you know what? And I hear David Sampson with the CBS Sports HQ baseball analyst, former Marlins executive. I hear you, and I respect, I can appreciate being creative enough to go there. But it's not the same parallel. Nobody cares about my contract. People care about baseball. You need to be more forthright with this.
I'm sorry. I think you have a ton of devoted listeners who care about your contract. If you all of a sudden went on strike or were locked out by Viacom CBS, right, mm-hmm. or went on strike, of course people would care. I think you're downplaying your role. You have a big platform that you use. And here's the interesting part. Yep. There are people who could do what you do, but not as well as you do it. And that's the same thing in baseball. There are people who can play baseball, but not as well as Mike Trout, let's say. So can the Angels exist if Mike Trout says, you know what, I'm going to opt out, I don't want to play.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as good a team, but there will be people who will do it. If you end up saying that, if you don't show me what every single other on-air talent makes, I will not sign a contract. Mm-hmm. Your time slot will be filled. I promise you that.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't do it. we got bills to pay, Dave. I mean, there's negotiating, and then there's stupidity. I mean,
So you just said it. Let's stop there and talk about that to all the listeners. There's negotiating, and then there's stupidity. And the owners and the players both know that very principle of negotiation. We are not yet in the stupidity part. We're in the negotiation part. The stupidity part will be if the deadline passes, and June 1st is not a deadline, June 10th is not a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I've said from the beginning, in order for there to be a season, it has to start by August 1st.
Okay.
And that, to me, is when an agreement has to happen and to make sure that we can get a half a season in. And if not, and every other sport is playing but baseball, then they've gone from negotiation to stupidity.
You always give us something to think about. I need a quick one on this. Give me 30 seconds. How would you characterize Rob Manfred's leadership?
Steady, calm, and with the use of an abacus.
Okay.
He always knows he needs 23 votes to do anything. And yeah. Unlike Bud Selig, who wanted 30 because it made him feel good,
yep.
Rob knows that you need 23 owners to agree, and then you can move forward.
What about from a PR point of view?
There is no way to be positive from a PR standpoint when you're a commissioner. It's like being the president of a Major League Baseball.
Adam Silver's like pretty beloved universally.
Wait till there's a problem when it comes to the salary cap in the coming years, when all of a sudden teams are over the cap with the players they already have signed, and the next batch of free agents and the max contracts go way down,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a problem. All the players in every sport have to realize that life has now changed from a revenue standpoint, and if it's not going to come right now, it's going to come later.
Great conversation, buddy. Thanks for hopping on. David Sampson, keep doing it, man. Thank you very much.
Be safe. Thank you so much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.